Today's shir is Masechta Shabbos Daf Samach Zayin. We will begin with the last words of Daf Samach Vav Amabez, Amar Rav Huna. Says Rav Huna, L'ish sa, tell sa, if somebody had a fever every 3 days, Rashi says that this is a disease called Shachefes. If somebody has this fever every 3 days, L'isa Shiva Silvi M'shiva Dikli, he should bring 7 small branches from 7 date palms, the shivat sivi m'shivik shuri, and 7 splinters from 7 wood beams, the shivat siki m'shivik shuri, 7 pegs from 7 bridges, the shivat katimi m'shivik tanuri, and 7 types, 7 ash from 7 different ovens, the shivat ifri m'shivik sanri, and 7 specimens of dirt from 7 door sockets, the Shiva Kufri, Mishiva Arbi, and 7 specimens of tar from 7 ships. They used to coat the ships with tar because tar is waterproof. The Shiva Buni Kamuni, and 7 kernels of cumin. The Shiva Bini Medikna de Kalbasava, and 7 hairs from the beard of an old dog, and he should tie the Beit Savara, and he should put it around the opening of his shirt, Begira Barka, tied with a strand of hair. And that will be the refuah for that Makkah. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Lishtat Simrsa, if somebody has a burning fever, Rachmana Litzlan, Leshkel Sakina de Kula Parzala, that he should take a knife that is made out of iron, v'lezel hechadik v'ardina, and he should go to where there is a bush, v'likta by nira barka, and he should tie upon it a strand of hair, and he should come back for 3 days. Yoyma kama, the first day, lichra by porta, he should make a notch, in the butch, and lame of Vieira Malach Hashem Elov, the Pasuk by Moshe Rabbeinu, when Moshe Rabbeinu saw the fire by the snap. Lamacha Licha by Porta Vilema, Vyoma Moshe Surinova Era, that's on the second day. Lamacha Licha by Porta, again, cut a little deeper, Vilema Vyar Hashem Kisar Lirois. So there's a very important question that the Mefarshim ask. It's relevant to this, it's going to be relevant to other places in the Gemara. The Rishonim ask, the Gemara says in Masechta Shavuos, Daf Tezvav Amud Beis, Osalus Rapis B'Divrei Torah. You're not allowed to use Divrei Torah to make a refuah. So the question is, how could you use these, say Psukim, for a refuah? So some Rishonim suggest that this issue of Tzimrisa is a Chayla Sheesh by Sakana, and for a situation of Pikuach Nefesh, we're allowed to do everything besides the Gimel Averis Chamuris. The Ritva says that if you're doing it for protection, not for refuah, it's mutter. And here it's being done as a preventative situation. The Meiri says that the only issue of refuah b'divrei Torah is if that's the main refuah. But if it's only a supplemental refuah, and that's how the Meiri says is the situation of our Gemara, that it's a supplemental refuah, then we could be more lenient. The Meiri says that when another pshat that the Meiri offers is that when the Gemara says Oslos Rapus B'Divrei Torah, that's only if you're saying the Divrei Torah as a lachash, as we have many incantations in these Gemaras. But if you're saying it as a tefillah, Ta'kodesh Baruch Hu, that Hashem should help us, that is mutter. The Mashal says that if a person, similar to the Meiri, if he's learning Torah to be able to overcome the Yetzirah, as we know the Torah is the tavlin against the Yetzirah, says the Mashal, that's not considered being misrapid with the very Torah. Continues the Gemara. Amalei Rav Acha Barei, the Ravala Rav Ashi, Vilema, Why don't you better say V'yoyim Ratikra Haloim? Ela L'yoyim Kama Lema. He says V'yoyim Hashem Elav V'yoyim Moshe. Say both of those psukim on the first days. L'macha on the second day say V'yar Hashem Kisal Lirois L'macha V'yoyim Ratikra Haloim. Says the Gemara V'chi Pasukle. And when Baruch Hashem you get better. Lysa say V'lisik V'lema Hachi. He should bend low, pull the bush close to the ground, out of the ground, and say a snare. Says the Gemara, say to this bush, Lamashim the Gvias Mikol Alani, not because you're taller than all other trees, Ashrei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shechinta Eloch, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu rests the Shechin on you. Ela, Mishim the Maichas Mikol Alani, because you're the lowest, because you're humble, modest. That's why Ashrei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shechinta Eloch. The Kehecha, and similarly, you should say the kehecha, the chamisa eshtel Chananya Mishael v'Azaria, just like Chananya Mishael v'Azaria, when they were thrown in the fire, what happened was the fire, Arikas Mekadmei, fled from them, ran away from them. Kain techamina eshtel aplani baplanis matarik Mekadmei. So too, we should be zoicha that should happen to us as well, that the fire should run away. We learned next, says the Gemara, L'simta. If somebody has boils, Le'mahachi, he should say, Baz Bazya, Mas Masya, Kas Kasya, Shraloi Vamarloi, Eile Malcha Dishtalchim Arad Stoim. These are Malachim that were sent from Stoim, L'sash Chinekivim, to heal painful boins. Bozach, Bazach, Bozach, Baz Bozach, Mas Mosach, Kamon, Kimcha. Einach bei. He says, your color that you have, shemain that color. Don't get redder. Asribach. They should remain where the boil should remain where it is. It shouldn't spread any further. Zarech color the kapirda. Your seed should be like a kakolot. Should be like a kakolot means somebody who's sterile. Ukapirda like a mule. We know that a mule is born from mating a horse and a donkey, but a mule can't produce further children. Loipara de loiravia. That just like they don't multiply, kachloi tifra, vloi tirba, the goof of the plenty by plenus, so too should you not multiply. Lekipe, if somebody unfortunately suffers from blisters. Lema Hachi should say, Chabe Shalufa, an unsheathed sword, Vekal of the Tusha, and a slingshot ready to be used. Lo Shime Yuchav Cholam Akivin, I should not anymore suffer from pain. Lashida, somebody is suffering Shadim. Lema Hachi, Havis the pocket Kavisa, you should be stopped. Lit the tover umeshumet, you should be cursed, broken, bartit. Lita, you should be cursed. Tover, you should be broken. Meshumet, you should be put into cherim. Bartit, bartomei, bartinei, kishamgas, mirigas, vistamoi. The shida de besakisei, there was a special shade that they used to suffer in the bathrooms. Lemahachi, a kark for the ari on the head of an iron, va'usa de guriosoi, and on the nostril of a lioness, ishkachten l'shidoi by shrika panda, that's where this shed is found, b'meshara de karsa chavita, I destroyed him in a field of leek, b'lua de chamr chatarte, with the jawbone of his donkey, I destroyed him. And of course, as we said, we'll still speak about it more, Mitzvah Shem, we have to be careful that the Kivega already quotes the Maril, don't do any of these different lachashim in the world that we live in. So we learned in the Mishnah that B'nai Malachim, the prince's children, are allowed to go out bezogin, with bells. So, and then the Mishnah said that not only a prince's son allowed to go out that way, everybody is allowed to go out that way. So ask the Gemara, Matana, Who is the Tana that holds that everybody could wear these zogim on Shabbos? Everybody, even people who don't normally go out with bells. Amrav Oishia, Rav Shimon Hi. It represents the opinion of Rav Oishia, Domim. We're going to learn later in our Masechta, on Daf Kuf Yur Aleph, Omer Aleph, regarding one smearing himself with rose water on Shabbos. The Gemara over there teaches us that anything which is obvious that's done l'shem refuah, that only sick people do it, we've discussed this halacha previously, you may not do on Shabbos, because there's a gzeira of shchika samamonim. But something that even healthy people do, the example we always give, let's say somebody has a cold, and he's eating chicken soup because he has a cold. But many people eat chicken soup even if they don't have a cold. And therefore, everybody can eat chicken soup on Shabbos because it's not obvious that it's being done l'shem refuah. So now the question is, there was rose oil extracted from a rose that is very expensive. And typically only b'nei melachim, only wealthy people would smear themselves with that oil. So who could use that oil on Shabbos? So Tanna Kamma says, only people who use rose oil, b'nei melachim, who use rose oil during the week, could use rose oil on Shabbos. Rav Shimon says that everybody could use rose oil on Shabbos because kol b'nei Yisrael melachim. That's Rav Shimon's opinion. Everybody, Rav Shimon holds, is worthy of using rose oil. If you can't afford it, you can't afford it, but we're all b'nei melachim. So says the Gemara, that that's probably in our Mishnah as well, the explanation. That since typically only distinguished individuals wore these bells on their clothing, Rav Shimon says that all of Klal Yisrael are considered b'nei melachim, and are worthy of wearing that beged. So of course the question is, as we've learned throughout the perek, is that why are we not concerned that the spell may fall off and you're going to carry it dalar amos b'shus rabim? We learned actually at the beginning of our perek on Daf Nun Ches that that's the reason that an evid may not go out on Shabbos with the bell around his neck. So Tosfos, the Ramaskal B'nai, answers that only in a bell that is not attached well to the clothing do we have that consideration. But here we're speaking about expensive bells made out of silver and gold that were certainly attached very well because you don't want to get them to be lost, and therefore you don't have to worry that you're going to carry them in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Another teretz that Tosfos offers in the name of Yerushalmi is a very big chiddush, that when our Mishnah says that you're allowed to wear bells on Shabbos, we're indeed not speaking about adults. Adults may not wear bells on Shabbos for the concern of this entire perek of Shema Yavarena Dalar Amos Brishus Rabbim. Here we're talking about a cotton. So the Gemara on Daf Nun Ches was speaking about adults, and this Gemara is talking about ketanim. So if that's the case, why does the Mishnah say B'nai Melachim? The Mishnah should have said the reason we're being lenient is because they're ketanim. So Tosfos says that if not for the fact that we're following the opinion of Reb Shimon, that kol b'nei Yisrael are considered b'nei melachim, so then we would have a problem that if a child went out wearing these bells, people are going to ridicule him, and that will cause his father to take the bell off him. And we need to be concerned that the father, seeing that his child is being ridiculed, will be concerned for his child, take it off and carry it. But once we have Reb Shimon telling us that kol b'nei Yisrael melachim, so we don't have to be worried that anybody is going to ridicule a Jewish child that's wearing a bell. Rav Amar, Rav says we're speaking about a case that orig b'ksusoy, it's woven into the garment, and therefore, divrei hakol, although we say the Bnei Yisrael, not everybody is Bnei Melachim, but in a situation where they're securely fastened, that's where we don't have to worry that they're going to take it off. So here we discuss, again, the issue of bells. And most Rishonim immediately say that the bell we're talking about is a bell that doesn't have any clapper in it, because otherwise there's an Isser of Hashma's call. And in fact, that's what the Shilta Gebarim says, because a person is not allowed to wear any clothing, says the Shilta Gebarim, with bells on them, because unless the clappers are removed, because we have to be concerned about the noise the bell makes. The Magen Avraham distinguishes between children and adults. He says, when the Shilta Gebarim says you have to take off the bell that you wear, the clapper have to remove, say, that's only by children. Because children usually make noise with the bells on their clothing. Adults are not interested in bells making noise wherever they walk. It's only the bells are only there for decoration, and therefore he says adults could have clappers in the bells that they have attached to their clothing. Deli Rabba disagrees. He says it doesn't make a difference what is the intent of the wearer. Anything that makes sound is not us to be worn on Shabbos. So the Taz discusses shilas that are maybe more relevant. He discusses what's the halacha bells that are attached to the proichus on the Aron Kodesh. Or you have bells on the keser, on the crown of the Sefer Torah. And the Taz says you should have the clapper removed from those bells. The intent of those bells is to make a sound, to let everybody know that the Aron Kodesh is opened, to let everybody know that the Sefer Torah is being walked with. The Magen Avraham, again, disagrees with the Taz, and he says that these bells are not meant to make a sound, and the person who's taking out the Sefer Torah with the Keser Torah on top of the Sefer Torah is not intending to shake the bells and make the noise. The Shach says that it's mutter, is that the Isser, a very interesting Shach, he says the Isser of Hashmos Kol is a Derabbanan. What's the point of making this noise with the bells? For Kavod HaTorah. So the Kavod HaTorah that we just described, that everybody should get up, takes precedent over the noise that you're making without intention on Shabbos. The Mishnah Berurah paskins, the L'chatchila, one should do like the Taz and remove the clapper from the bells that are on the Keser Torah. But he says that if for some reason someone forgot to do it, or it's impossible to get the clappers out, he could rely on the lenient opinion of the Magen Avraham and the Shach. Says the Mishnah, Yoytze Mebei is chargel. One could go out Shabbos carrying a locust egg. Again, it was a refuah. V'shein shul, a fox's tooth, v'mesamer menatzala, nail from gallows, on which somebody was hung, mishum refuah. All of these things were done mishum refuah, divir emeya. The chum ois from af b'chol, but the chum are much stricter, and they say you're not allowed to even do this during the week, because there's a new consideration. The Torah says, u'b'cha kaseyem loyselechu, the pasuk says v'loisas kamaseyem. The pasuk says v'loiselchu b'chukas agoy. And all of these psukim teach us how we have to be so concerned about staying away from the way the Akum lived, and therefore the Gemara says you have to stay away from all these things. Says the Mishnah. Says the Gemara. Yotzei peis hagarbo at chargo. They used to wear it l'shichla, for somebody who had a earache. Somebody who had sleep problems. The tooth of a live fox is used for somebody who can't stay awake. The misa and the tooth of a dead fox is used for an insomniac who has a problem falling asleep. We spoke about the nail from the gallows. The avid lazirfa If somebody has a wound that's swelling, that is what they used to use. Mishum refuah, you're allowed to wear these things on Shabbos if the tachlis is refuah, divrei Rameya. So now the Gemara goes into the discussion, what is considered mishum refuah and is mutter, what is not refuah, and therefore there's a concern of darkei hamayri. Says the Gemara, Abai v'rav adam tavaya, kol dov v'shesh mishum refuah, wherever the consideration is refuah, eim mishum darkei hamayri. There is no concern of darkei hamayri. So says the Gemara, ha'eim ba mishum refuah, if there's no refuah, yesh ba mishum darkei hamayri. So now, the Gemara made a statement. The kol dov v'shesh mishum refuah, eim mishum darkei hamayri. And there's a machlokes amongst the Rishonim, how to understand what this halacha says. Rashi says that anything that you do where it's obvious that this could heal the person, then it's mutter, and it has to be something that naturally makes sense. But if it's some sort of a lachash, we discussed lachash earlier, and even though it helps, but it's not something that we could understand scientifically, you're not allowed to do, it's darkei hamayri. Rashi in Masech Techulin says, is more lenient. Rashi in Masech Techulin says that if you're doing it for the purpose of refuah, it doesn't make a difference what type of refuah you're doing, what type of act you're doing. If your purpose is refuah, that's mutter. Other Rishonim take this a step further, and they say that anything that's, the Rajba learns like this, that anything that's being done, l'shem refuah, is mutter, even if it's not scientific, but it has to be something that we see has worked previously. If we've seen that this has worked previously, that's a proof that it's not, that's being done l'shem refuah, and it's not in the category of darkei hamayri. And the Ran, again, with this line of reasoning, takes the approach that it has to be something that was done by a mumcha. We spoke about a mumcha earlier in our parak on Daf Samach Aleph. If it's done by a mumcha, then we know that it works and you're allowed to do it. The Marik is much more lenient. The Marik's opinion is that as long as the reason you're doing it is not to in any way act like the Akum, not to act like the Amayri, that's good enough reason to be Makel. The Rambam in the Maor Nevuchim again takes the approach that if it's understandable scientifically, you're allowed to do it. And if it's not understandable scientifically, you're not allowed to do it. So how do we understand our Mishnah? Says the Rambam that since there's a track record that these different refuahs that were mentioned in our Mishnah have worked. So that's a proof, even though we don't necessarily understand scientifically how and why they work. But the Rambam says the fact that we see that they've worked is a proof that they are, that you could do it. The Retvaz, the Shor Mitzrayim Balacha, quotes the Retvaz. He says, let's remember, what is the subject of our perek? The subject of our perek is carrying. And the issue of our perek, as we've discussed previously, is that Shema, that you may take it off and carry it, Dalet Amos B'Shus Rabim. What does that mean? That really, everything that we're discussing is a malbush. And since it's a malbush, since it's a garment, the halacha should be that you're allowed to wear them on Shabbos. Chazal made gezeiros. So what the Gemara is saying, so what the Gemara here means to say, since everything that we're discussing is only a derabbanon, it's only issa derabbanon, and it worked and it has worked. So for that issue, we could be more lenient. So ask the Gemara, ha'ein ba mishum refuah. So we're learning that something that is not a refuah, yesh be mishum darkei hamayri. Ask the Gemara, v'tanya, but we learned in a brisa. Ilan Shemesha Perisaisav. If you have a tree that the fruit falls off, Soikra B'Sikra, you're allowed to dye it with a red color, v'tayana b'vanim, and put stones on it. So says the Gemara. Mishlam v'tayana b'vanim, this that we said that you should put stones on it, that's understandable. Kecha d'lichish cheli, it will get the weaker, and therefore the fruit won't ripen too early, and it'll be okay. And that's how we'll be healed. El sukra b'sikra, dying it with red dye, my refuah covered. Where's the refuah? And if there's no refuah, why are we allowed to do it? Why would that not be considered darkei hamayri? Answers the Gemara, ki echad alechsi inish v'leboi le'rachmei. There's no magic involved in putting the red dye on this tree that has a disease. Ketanya, as the pasuk, as the Brisa teaches us, the pasuk by the Metzora says, v'tamei tamei yikra, tzorach le'di etzara le'rabim. He has to announce to everybody he's a Metzora, v'rabim yivakshul avrachmim. So what the Gemara means to say is that the reason we dye it with red color is that everybody should see that it has a disease, and because it has this disease, people will daven for this person who is diseased, like the Metzora does. So what is the Metzora? Why is the Gemara teach about the Metzora being the one that has to do it? Why doesn't he daven for himself? So the Rishonim say that since the Metzora said Lashon Hara, and he said Lashon Hara, and the mouth that spoke Lashon Hara cannot be the mouth that Hashem will listen to bring him a refuah, and therefore the only way he could have a refuah is by other people davening on his behalf. I saw another pshat, why specifically the Metzora? Because everybody else who Nebuch is not well, he's living amongst all of us. And because he's living amongst all of us, people come to visit him and they see that he's not well. And as I've said previously, a very important element of the mitzvah Bikur Chayilim is not just to visit and the person who's not well. Part of it is to daven for him, say tilim for him. But the mitzvah is mechutz l'machna. And since he's mechutz l'machna, then he has to, nobody knows his disease. So he has to let everybody know somehow, I'm mechutz l'machna, I'm a mitzvah, please daven for me. Another pshat is the Metzora has a hard time davening. Because everybody else gets sick, they can daven to Hashem, please Hashem, make us better. But we, the Metzora, did an Aveira. And since he did an Aveira, he doesn't have that right to ask so quickly for refuah. Amar Avinu, continues the Gemara, command Talina Kufsa V'dikla. Why people sometimes tie a bunch of dates upon a date tree, that is, again, the fruit is ripening too early. That's according to Kahaitanam. Says the Gemara, Tanatana beperek amroi kamedra v'chi barabba. The person who taught us prices taught us a number of halachas from what the Amroim did. He taught it to us in front of v'chi barabba. Amalei, kula isla b'mshum dake avari. Everything that we learned in that braisa is included in being also a darkei amayri, levar mahani, except those that we learned here that are being done for refuah. And the Gemara gives two more examples. Misha eshla etzem begroinai. If Rachman Otzlan, somebody has a bone stuck in his throat, mevi maisamin, brings another bone of that from that type, umniach le'al kadkodei, put it on his head, v'lei mahochi, chad chad nochis bola. Bala nochas chad chad, and this is not considered darkei amayri. Lidra, if somebody has a fish bone stuck in his throat, leimahochin the natzda kamachad, you're stuck like a needle, the natal katris, you're locked like a shutter, shaya shaya, go down. And it's very interesting to point out that even though in our previous year and today's year, we mentioned that all of these refuahs and schoolas that are mentioned in our Gemara one shouldn't do, but Kivega quotes the Maril. Apparently, the Maril says that this refuah of somebody who gets a bone stuck, we Bizman Hazeh may do. Says the Gemara further, Ha'oim a gad gad. Now somebody says gad gad, v'loy, v'sonuk, loy ashke yibushki, Yesh b'mishum darkei mayra, that's considered darkei mayra. Rav Yehuda Omer, God ain't a loshon avodah zarah. Shenema aruch magad shulchan. So now, not only is it an isser, says Rav Yehuda, of darkei mayri, it actually represents avodah zarah. Hu b'shma, v'hi b'shma, if a husband by night is called with his wife's name, and the wife is called by her husband's name, that was something that they used to do, that Amari, and yesh b'mishum darkei Amari. Doina doini, if somebody says, may my barrels of wine be doinu, strengthened, that's called darkei Amari. Rabbi Yehuda, again, takes even a sharper view. He says, ain don el loshon avodah zarah. Shenema, hanishboam ba'ashma shomrim, v'amu hei chei elohecho don. Haim lezoiv erev tzorach. If somebody says to a raven, tzorach, croak, or urvasa, to a female raven, he says, shriki v'achzire lozomvech l'toiva, turn around your tail towards me, which will represent that I'll have good luck, yesh b'mishum darkei mayri. Haim eshachtu tanagol zeh shekara arvis. If somebody says, shech this rooster that croaks like a raven, or v'tanagol shekara gavris, or shech the hen that crows like a rooster, yesh b'mishum darkei hamayri, that's considered also darkei hamayri. Although it's very interesting that Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid in the Sefer, in his Tzava, writes that one of the things that he writes is Tarnagoylus, this is in Siman Nun, in his Tzava, he writes, Tarnagoylus shekara kamoy Tarnagol, if you have a hen that croaks like a rooster, you should tenu miyad. The kol davashinui, and then he says, anything which is unusual, yasirenu manabayis, get it out of your house. And all the mefarshim ask that our Gemara says that this is darkei hamayri. And how do we understand this? So the Maril explains, if as long as when you shech this chicken that makes this noise, you don't expressly say that that's why you're doing it, then that's not considered darkei hamayri. The Gra is not satisfied with this explanation, and the Gra has a whole different girsa, a different version of the Tzavos of Yehuda HaChassid, and he has that just the opposite, that you shouldn't shecht it, because if you shecht it, hareza medarki hamayri. Another pshat that they want to say in explaining Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid is that he doesn't mean that you should shecht it. It means don't keep such a chicken in your house. But then I saw a very nice pshat from Rabbi Yosef Engel. What did Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid mean to do? If somebody, as our Gemara says, does this because it's the darkei hamayri, so our Gemara is teaching us darkei hamayri is a very serious issur. But if somebody shechs such a chicken bezman hazeh, it's obvious that he's not shechting the chicken because of the darkei hamayri. He's shechting the chicken because of Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid. So if he's shechting it because of Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, we can't have any issue with this individual. Says the Mishnah, says the Gemara further, Hamavakas beitzim b'koisel, if somebody breaks eggshells on a wall b'fnei afrochim in front of the chicks, yesh b'mishum darkei hamayri. Hamegas b'fnei afrochim, if somebody steers a pot in front of small chicks, yesh b'mishum darkei hamayri. Hamrakedes, if somebody dances before the small chicks, that he counts 71 chicks in order they shouldn't die, yesh b'mishum darkei hamayri. Hamrakedes l'kutach, we've learned many times they used to have a dip that was called kutach. It was made out of milk and breadcrumbs. So somebody dances in front of the kutach, that's how they believed it'll get stronger. V'mashatekes l'adoshim, or if somebody makes sure that there's no noise when they're cooking lentils, or v'matzaveches l'grisim, or somebody yells in front of a pot of beans, all of that is yesh b'mishum darkei hamayri. Hamashtenes b'fnei k'derasa, if a woman urinates in front of a pot, b'shvil shetavashel mehera, in order that she cook quickly, that's yesh b'mishum darkei hamayri. Says the Gemara, even though that is darkei hamayri that you're trying to do to get the food to cook quickly, avol noisim kisim shaltus, somebody could put a splinter of wood a type of wood from a bush, v'shivrei zechuchis, or broken pieces of glass, v'kedeir in the pot, v'shvil shetuzbash l'mehera, in order that the food should cook quickly. V'cham oisrim, v'shvil, oisrim v'shvil zechuchis, the Chacham said you can't use broken glass because it's sakana. Tan Rabbanan, because this is not being done because of Darkei Amayri, what this is being done is this is a natural way to get things to cook quicker. Tan Rabbanan, nois nabul shamelech l'toich aner, you could put a fistful of salt into a lamp, v'shvil shetor v'tadlik, in order that it should light more brightly. The salt thins out the oil and makes it that it should be, that the oil should go quicker to the wick and burn more brightly. On the other hand, the nois n'tit v'charsis, you could put mud or clay, tachas haner, v'shvil shetamtem v'tadlik. What that means is that the wick doesn't get drawn to the oil and takes longer, that it doesn't burn so light brightly. And as I saw the Sefer Shiurim Tzion Balacha says, that even though there's a question of Bal Tashchis, I'm wasting salt, or I'm wasting these other materials just to get my light to burn brighter or less brighter, says the Shiurim Tzion Balacha, that isn't considered Bal Tashchis. Anything that's done for a constructive purpose is not considered Bal Tashchis. Omer Rav Zutra, Hain man de michsi sharga de mishka, a person who covers up an oil lamp, or megala lefta, or needlessly uncovers a nafta lamp, making them burn quicker, there was no purpose in what you're doing, so there is Bal Tashchis. Says the Gemara, Chamer v'chayle from Rabbanan, whenever you drink, they said, Chamer v'chayle from Rabbanan, that's Ein b'mishum darkei amayri, that doesn't involve the darkei amayri. And says the Braisa, Maisa Rav Kiva sh'osa mishtal v'noi, Rav Kiva made a party for his son, v'al kol kois v'kois she'evi omar, he said, Chamra v'chai l'fum rabbonon, and chai v'chamra l'fum rabbonon l'fum talmideim. So why was it said on wine? And why did he say l'fum rabbonon? Says the Shlo. What Rav Kiva was trying to accomplish by this party, that they shouldn't drink wine just for enjoyment. They should drink wine that they should be happy. And a person who's besimcha can learn Torah. That's why he said, Lefum Rabbanon, that the Rabbanon and the Talmidim should only learn, drink wine. You're not supposed to drink wine. The only reason you could drink wine is to enhance your Torah learning. And in fact, the Maral explains that why do we say l'chaim on a cup of wine? Because the pasuk says, normally there are many psukim that speak negatively about a kais. And particularly when there's a party and there's people drinking, we have to worry about the satan coming there. So to be concerned that the satan, who are malchamoves, to avoid that, we say l'chaim, and that nothing bad should happen to any of us at this party where we're drinking wine. So there are many pshatim offered in this Gemara of Chamra v'chaya, Chaya v'chamra. One pshat that I saw that the Torah Shimon says, he says, Chamra v'chaya, who l'fum rabbonin, only rabbonin have the ability to take life out of something which is typically negative, which is wine. I saw that there's a question. When somebody is drinking wine and he wants to make a l'chaim, as we just explained, do you say the l'chaim and then make the bracha, or do you make the bracha? So I saw it makes a difference who it is. Chamra v'chaya l'fum rabbonon, chaya v'chamra l'fum rabbonon v'talmidim. So the Chavistas explains that if the Talmid Chachamim sitting with the Talmidim, they should first say chamra, they should first make the bracha, and then say the Bar Priya Goffin. But when there are Talmidim sitting there, so the Talmidim are drinking l'kavod their Rebbe, to show the kavod HaTorah they should first say the L'chaim. Another pshat I saw that a person should say Cham Rav Chaya, because the Gemara speaks about when do you drink wine. They drank wine, they gave a person who was going to get executed wine to drink. Avelim drank wine. So the person has to say Cham Rav Chaya, you should drink wine, but we should drink wine V'chaya. Let's, the Eibishter should give us the bracha that we should drink wine to life, not chas v'sholem as a velim, not chas v'sholem as somebody who's being taken for execution. And that I saw Rabbi Yosef Engel explains that, as we just said, wine is drunk by people who are velim, and they also, the Gemara says in Masech the Yuma, Chama v'chrichni, wine and besam and pichim, will make a person smarter. Which person will get smarter by drinking? Who do we want to get smarter? A Talmud Chacham. A person who's not learning Torah, we don't need that, he should be smarter. So that's what the Gemara says. Chama v'chaya, we want to drink wine v'chaya, for people who are alive. Who are those people that are alive that we should drink wine from them? We should drink wine for people who are Lefum Rabbanon, who are Talmid Chachamim, who learn Torah. And people like that, who learn Torah, those are the people who should drink wine. We want them to get smarter. One more pshat that I saw from the Ben Yoyada. He says, normally we drink wine before the meal. We make Kiddush. And that's when it's chamra. First we drink the wine, the chayi, and then we eat to give life. But by Shal Shudas, the minig is just the opposite. The first we drink, first we eat, and then we drink. In such a case, it's chayi v'chamra. But again, who are the ones that the Gemara suggests should drink? The Rabbanon, who learned Torah, who should have the Simchas HaTorah, who should have the ability to grow in Torah. Hadron Lach, Perek B'Meisha, Hadron Lach, Perek B'Meisha, Hadron Lach, Perek B'Meisha.